8 p.m. on CITR 101.9.
Juicebox is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised. Dropped into Juicebox Radio, where sexuality educators quench your search for responsible, progressive sexuality over your lifespan.
Featured on the coolest campus and community radio station CITR 101.9 on the FM dial, fresh and live from Lotusland, Vancouver, BC. Or maybe you're one of our many online listeners or podcast listeners from juiceboxradio.com. Anyway, you've come to share this special hour, and we're glad to have you. If you have something to contribute to the conversation tonight, please feel free to call in at 604-822-2487.
Yeah, that's 604 UBC CITR, which is what you have been listening to continuously. And we are at 101.9 on the FM dial, so thank you very much. That's Caroline, our lovely co-host. And tonight we have a couple of special guests
in our studio.
In the studio right away that want to talk about their amazing event that's coming up soon. So welcome, you guys.
Thank you for having us. We're Luscious Dance, and basically what we're doing is we're putting on a very sexy Christmas show. Thursday, December 14th at the Penthouse Lounge, we're going to be performing some amazing pole tricks, gravity-defying, burlesque style,
wow.
A few surprises up our sleeves, and we're even going to have Santa show up.
So anybody who's into pole dancing, you might want to check this out. It's going to be a really, really awesome show.
The proceeds for the ticket sales for this are also going to Beauty Night, which is Caroline's signature
charity,
absolutely, and it's for an amazingly great cause, and it's going to be a spectacular event.
And it's a pretty amazing performance with Luscious Dance. And it's a good chance to check out the penthouse and get to see these
and
girls.
And the pole dancers, hello.
The pole dancers. I was just about
Caroline,
to say that.
Aren't you and I going to be emceeing?
We are going to be emceeing. So it'd be pretty cool. So you can see Julia and I in person as well as these gorgeous, luscious women.
Mm-hmm. And more importantly, the oral pleasure will be good because you'll be hearing our voices, which I think you've come to love, and seeing women that seriously will blow your mind. They have such incredible talent, amazing bodies, and not in the kind of sticky, yucky kind of stripper way. I don't know. I just like these women have like beautiful bodies, the kind of bodies that you just could imagine making love to, as opposed to these, I don't know, kind of plasticky, perfect women that have been sculpting themselves to be porno style for their whole lives. I don't know. I get off on seeing these real women performing beautiful, beautiful, like, yeah, performances. Like, I don't know.
It's pretty empowering. And we're going to have these guys next week where you guys will get a little bit more detail on pole dancing and the art.
And finding the sexy side.
Absolutely.
Is there somebody else that wants to say something? Oh, no, she's shaking her little hat. No, thanks.
If you want to reserve tickets or if you want to buy tickets online, check out the website www.lusciousdance.com.
Luscious with a C.
Luscious. Very luscious.
Awesome. All right, cool, girls. Thanks. We'll check it out. And that's December 14th.
It's December 14th. That's next Thursday, not this Thursday.
A week tomorrow.
That's right.
Excellent. Bye, girls. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
So tonight we're talking a continuation of what we were talking about last week on Juice Box, internet dating and cybersexuality. So the internet is actually this profoundly transformational thing that is transforming our culture and our world in ways similar to the introduction of the telephone like 100 years ago, like huge ways.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition to its function as a source of information, obviously, the internet is leading this revolution in the delivery of sex and sexual content, but also allowing people to get to know and understand and develop their sexual selves.
Would that be cyber sex?
Yeah. I mean, cyber sex, which really, what does cyber sex mean? I think it's any form of sexual expression accessed through the computer or the internet. And it's now actually a major industry. I'm sure we all know that. Over 60% of all visits on the internet involve a sexual purpose. That is a huge indication of what is going on in our culture.
And last week we showed you a little bit of a slice of the cyber sex world with our guests Ray Schwartz and Jezebel from The Red Light. And for those of you who missed the show,
well, you can download the podcast.
Please do. But the 22nd explanation is The Red Light Center is the cyber sex world where you create your own avatar and explore your sexual fantasies with like-minded individuals. What I found interesting, I don't know what you thought, Julia, about this is that neither Ray nor Jezebel had ever met anybody offline. So it was interesting what happened in the red light, stayed in the red light.
Yeah, yeah. Which I have a feeling happens a lot.
Yes.
I mean, only a third of the people who visit online dating sites actually meet someone face to face. There's lots of studies out there that say that. But digital dating, especially in Canada, nearly half of this third have met 1 to 5 others, and the remaining fifth have met more than 5 people. So most people use online services to find dates or find someone for long-term relationships, but most online daters are not looking for a sex partner, just to flirt. And so I think, you know, there's like quite a lot of different, conflicting results that come from that. So
definitely. Well, if people are looking for a sex partner, Lava Life does have a section called Intimate Encounters to find someone.
Right. Intimate Encounters.
Just that word.
We're going to talk more about that later.
Definitely. You know what I've been trying to figure out? And you know how bad I am at math, Julia.
Yes. We've known you since elementary school. Yes, I remember.
But that study, the one that was done by online digital dating in Canada, they say that 1.1 and 1.2 million Canadians have visited an online dating site. And 63% of people have actually met someone face-to-face, have slept with somebody. And what I thought was really interesting, interesting that 66% of the men who have had sex with somebody that they met online did it on their first date, compared to 58% of the women. And I thought that was neat.
Hmm.
And 60% form at least one long-term relationship. Yeah. Huh.
So those are the ones that they've met face-to-face.
I hope so. Mm-hmm. 27% of people met people that they'd consider a partner, and 3% eventually got married.
Interesting. And with sexual harassment cases, which, again, I want to bring it down to reality a little bit here, people are scared to meet someone through work. So, which is, you know, sexual harassment. Like, you know, you don't even know if, can you even approach someone and say you think they're cute and would you like to go for coffee? Well, if the person's a bit paranoid, they're going to be like, oh, sexual harassment, blah, blah, blah. Like, yeah. I'm feeling like I'm being stalked. And so it does create paranoia and, you know, people don't want to do
it.
So
true. Well,
more and more people are actually working from home, which I think is a bigger problem, and it's very difficult to meet people through work, quote unquote, right? Workplace romance is definitely on the decline for these reasons. I mean, I work from home. I'm very alone all day long. It's like,
and since I work with women, well, I've had to
meeting?
Look outside of the dating place.
Right. Of course I'm online. That's the only way that I can flirt and pick up dates is online, actually, because I work by myself.
Have you actually dated anybody online or met anybody offline or even gone to a dating site?
I've done some dating online, but it never did meet in person.
Okay.
Not because I didn't want to, but because I kept pressing them to meet me for coffee or something, and they were like, oh, well, you know, blah, 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 and gave me the runaround, and there was, like, weeks before the email was returned or something. I mean, we eventually got our email addresses exchanged, but, yeah, it never turned into much, and I think that's the usual case, isn't this? The research says, like,
it does.
60%.
So. Just that one third. Yeah. Yeah, it's true. I just had to figure out the math there.
Okay, yeah. Sorry. So 53% or something go out for social leisure activities at least once a month on their own. They actually go out.
So it's not so that whole... They're just glued to the computer and basically on it for 10 hours at a time.
And they never actually get out, right? Like we were talking about that last week.
Yes, about dancing online, getting your avatars to pick different dance or whatever.
Oh my God, I got you. Don't do that to me. Oh my God, we're all live right now.
You're right. Okay. I've got to behave myself for right now anyway. But I have tried some online dating, and most of the time, most people have been pretty truthful. And according to that, only a quarter of the people who participated in the study a quarter of them aren't that. I'm sorry, you're making me laugh.
Sorry, I'm still laughing about the dancing and the avatars.
I'm visualizing the dancing, doing some really bad commercial dancing in some really cheesy cartoon.
My dance moves are getting better and better. I'm trying them online, and then I'm going down to the Met every Friday, and I'm busting a move. And I'll tell you, I'm picking people up pretty hardcore.
I love it, Julia. I'm going to have to try that and take that and maybe teach a few of those moves in my class.
I think that you've tried some online dating, Caroline. Is that true?
Yes, I have. I've met some people who are really honest about who they were, and I'd say for the most part, that was pretty much the case.
I think you have some experiences that you might like to share, though, don't you? I mean, don't you?
I suppose so. I don't know. Do we have to kill anybody if I admit it out loud?
I don't know. It's up to you, honey. You're the one who's been having the online dating affairs.
Well, not that many. I've avoided lab life with the plague.
Oh, how come?
When my ex and I broke up about 3 years ago, I went online because that was when I was writing my dating column and I had to do some research. And I went on and looked under, 29 to 35-year-olds. And I found his photo on there. It was 3 weeks after we broke up. So it kind of threw me off. And the best part was
to talk about this right now? Are you okay to talk about it?
I think so, but I may need therapy afterwards. Okay. But he actually used
I can
a picture.
Do that. You're always a trooper, honey.
I know. You are. Thank
you. So you saw his picture online after cute.
And it was a picture of the two of us where he'd actually cut me out so you could see part of my face and my hair.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It was kind of depressing. He'd obviously cut me out of his life.
So what are the top five tips then? I mean, you've obviously had this experience. Like, let's share. Let's, like, take your pain and use it to help our listeners.
Well, first of all, I think we kind of touched on this a little bit earlier about the intimate encounters. You want to make sure you're in the right category. If you're looking for a walk down the aisle or a baby carriage, obviously you probably don't want to be in the intimate encounters. Not that you're not going to get intimate at some point, mm-hmm. but that's not what you're looking for. You're not looking for a bam, bam, bam.
Well, I think that that's all you're going to get if you put that in there. Like, just don't ever go there, even though that's what you're kind of looking for, mm-hmm. kind of halfway. Like,
you put it,
like,
under dating or something.
If you're interested in a relationship that might get somewhere, don't ever put yourself there because it will track you down to that.
Yeah.
And, or I shouldn't say down, but to the... You're such a slut. I saw you in the intimate encounters and... Anyway.
My friend saw you on intimate encounters.
Yeah. And just don't do it, okay? If you want to actually find someone online that you're going to have a relationship with, just do not go into the intimate encounters.
So in other words, decide what you want in your dating world before you set up your profile.
Very important.
Mm-hmm.
And also really important to take time to write a good profile. Like, write it a million times out and get your friends to check it and see if it sounds like you and all those things before you put it online.
Yes. Yeah.
No. What do you like, you know, do you like to go fishing? Do you like to go to wine tastings? Like,
or both.
You know, like, are you a smoker or non-smoker? Do you live in Vancouver? Do you live in Hong Kong? Like, are you looking for a cyber partner? Are you looking for someone in person? Do you, like...
Oh, more, you know, about cyber people later. Or, wait a second, we touched that last week.
Okay.
Number three, photos. If you're having photos, you'll obviously get more hits. Make sure they look like you. Men and women who post their photos receive at least twice as many emails than those, according to a study published by The Economist at MIT and the University of Chicago.
It makes sense, right?
No, it's true. And
you gotta have a visual, like, God.
Well, people are visual, and especially online, you
can have you're saying don't put a photo that doesn't look like you.
No, not at all. And I've gone on a couple dates where people looked absolutely nothing like their photo. And right off the bat, you feel ripped off. And let's put it this way, even in the acting world, casting directors freak out if actors show up with pictures that were taken 10 years ago.
When you have more hair.
More hair, a six-pack, not sagging breasts. And a beer belly. So, I mean, it doesn't really matter what you're, you know, what shape you're in, but just be honest about it. Well, yes, you should take pride, you know, your body.
Well, yeah,
temple.
I mean, if you've put on 100 pounds or 50 or even 20, I think, like, or, you know, if you've lost, like, some people like heavier people, and if you've lost a lot of weight, and, you know, people are going to be disappointed if you're skinnier and,
you know,
you don't have as many curves and your breasts are smaller or you don't have that beer belly. Some women love that shit, you know, they get off on that, you know.
They do, they like the teddy bear effect.
So just, you know, be honest about your profile. You know, and your picture should say kind of closely to what you look like. Right?
And you don't want to fall into that 25% of people who lie about who they are and what they look like.
Yeah, 25%.
It's high.
They're just cowards.
They
are. You know, and I've dated cowards. I've had a 2.5-year relationship. My last man that I was in love with was a total coward.
Yes, he was.
And, you know, like, you know, yeah, it's just... People like that suck.
They
do.
You
know, be courageous in relationship. It's hard to be courageous, but that's like the most important thing that you can be. Honest and courageous first for yourself and honest about who it is that you are.
So true.
So important. Doesn't matter where you're dating and whatever. So keep the online communication brief. I think, you know, until you meet the person, and I was saying this the other night, I was at this Society of Sexuality, Gender, and Culture, part of a thing that I founded years ago. We had our monthly meeting. It happens usually on Tuesdays at the library on 12th and Granville or whatever. Anyway, we were there, and we were talking about the online stuff. And really, until you meet the person in real life and speed dating and all that, you don't know whether there's chemistry or not. You have to see a person in real life.
You do. People actually decide whether or not they like you within the first 10 seconds you walk through the door. So the issue is whether or not you can get along with somebody as well, but how comfortable you feel with them in person. Always listen to your gut. If you meet them and your gut's just going off, listen to that. It's important just get yourself out of the door, which leads us to number five, personal safety. Be really careful when you meet them about giving things like your cell phone number, your real
address or where you live.
Yeah, don't let them know where you live. It's scary. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying not opening up with people, but just be a little bit vague about those details until you've taken the time to get to know them. I think you and I have had enough stalkers in this lifetime, haven't we?
We have had a few stalkers, haven't we? But, you know, you can use, like, broadband or webcam to talk if you want to get a feel for the person before meeting them in person. Mm-hmm. You can use this for cyber sex too, which is a great part of it, right? Like, I mean, a visual is a very important part of sexuality for most people.
And I've heard good stories from a few of my friends having threesomes online that way, actually, where one party was actually in Australia and they are in Vancouver. And I got to live vicariously through that experience as they told me about it, which I was like, that's kind of cool. Mm. Yeah, you wouldn't have to worry about jealousy then.
So, right. So I don't know. I think, Caroline, you always try to tell me, you know, meet them in public place, mm-hmm. keep the date short, coffee, drinks, quick bite, blah, 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 right?
Definitely.
Yeah, during the daytime, very important.
Daytime is safest. Yep. But, mm-hmm. I mean, that way you have an escape route in case it isn't a good fit. But
so you're like, I've got to run and meet this person for the afternoon meeting or whatever. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So be careful what you talk about, right?
Yeah.
Too. Like, keep the details about where you work, where you live. But also, like, for me, I give way too much information way too early. Like, it always backfires,
yeah,
right? Because
it
you bridge that intimacy so quickly verbally that you end up then bridging the intimacy, like, physically mm-hmm. too soon as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, this debate goes on and on. It's like, people are like, well, do you give it, you know, do you just let it flow with the moment and do you just get into a sexual situation before you know it or mm-hmm. or and let it just go kind of organically, quote unquote, or do you like get to know them and kind of keep things mysterious a little bit and drone it on over time and sort of get to where you trust and have a very deep, intimate conversations about what you like and don't like, you know. It's always such a, it's hard. I mean, I hear so many different, you know, mm-hmm. people speaking up, different kinds of attitudes and feelings about that. And
it's true. And don't forget, right at the beginning, everybody's on their bloody honeymoon period. Mm. They're on their best behavior.
On their best behavior. That's the most
they want
significant
you to like them.
Thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
They want you to like them. Yeah.
And so they're going to try hard to meet your needs. And in doing so, they feel really good. And I mean, if we kept doing that, who knows, maybe we'd have way better relationships overall. Actually, it's true. That's what, I forget what that doctor's name is, Harville, that psychologist, you know, the marriage counselor one, How to Get the Love You Want. He actually recommends that in his books, where you go back to that, basically trying to please your partner, which is actually really interesting, which maybe we'll talk about that in another show.
Another show, yes. Yeah. A relationship tips and tidbits show.
Yes, maybe for Valentine's Day.
Yes, it's a good time, February.
Yeah. One of the things I was going to say, though, in terms of what's kind of nice in terms of...
why people like online dating,
one of the main reasons is it's cheap dates. I found that out today, which I thought was interesting, because economies it affects everything, even romance. And one of the number one reasons people break up is over money, which is why churches give counseling sometimes before people get married, and that's one of the things you go over in those things. And so it makes sense, even in the first date, that, you know, there may be some disagreements over money right from the get-go.
Mm-hmm,
so just
mm-hmm.
trying to keep things cost-effective is probably a good thing. And especially in this world where, with the internet, one of the things that we tapped on a little bit earlier, it's given us a lot of information. But as well as that, it's really speeded up the process of our life. And
it does, yeah.
With that, people are in a hurry. They're in a hurry to meet people, and it's
mm-hmm.
and at the same time, we don't get out as much. So it's
this is
just a different way. It's able to save time. So when you're at home working on your career and focusing on all that and worried about the sexual harassment stuff, sorry, I'm going full circle, and I know that. But I just wanted to make that point. That's one of the main reasons why, is because with the workforce, people used to meet people at work a lot. Apparently, it was when I was reading about that earlier,
right.
And now you can't.
Not so much, anyway. So you had a lot of online dating experience. You've had, I think, Caroline, and you've had, you know, some cyber experiences. So
yes, I have.
I haven't really had much of that myself. I'm sort of I get enough
five.
Dates in real life. Not that I'm saying that you don't or that people don't. You know, I don't mean to say that. But
no,
I think that we should really, you know, on Juicebox, we should be giving our listeners some tips on how to
what not to do.
Yeah.
Oh yes, there is quite a few on this one.
So we'll keep them short. I mean, I think that, you know, drugs. I mean, call me a prude, but I've always sort of indulged in the drug-free policy. I mean, how can you decide if you genuinely like someone if you've been self-medicated or they are? I mean, it's honestly, I think that even if you're going for the bad boy type of thing or the bad girl, you might betray yourself as, like, codependent or whatever. It's like, I think that it's really good if you're going on your first few dates not to be high or drunk.
Yes.
Yeah. And violence. I mean, some women are into guys that like to spank.
And I don't think telling people that you have to go to the police station to get fingerprinted this week is one of the best ways to foray into the get-to-know-you phase. And yes, that did happen. And yes, he kept calling, and I couldn't get him to stop calling. But on that note, you know, yes, we want a man, you know, or a woman, you know, somebody who can stand up for themselves. And as a woman, sometimes I have to admit I do like having a guy who we think can protect us. But finding out that he's been charged with physical and verbal assault kind of makes me want to go the other way, if you know what I mean. So finding out that he spent the night in jail a few weeks ago kind of falls into the too much information category. But at the same time, I suppose it's better
that's
I found out about it on the first day. And
that,
he didn't read, and he's not listening to the show, hopefully. Yeah. I didn't get that.
So you know, also I think we want to warn you against things like narcissism and exes. I mean, don't talk about your exes on the first date, and don't, you know, if you are really into yourself and it's nothing wrong with being good looking, being a very obvious narcissist is never a good idea either.
And bringing modeling pictures of yourself on a date and asking for opinion.
Is that what happened to you as well?
Oh,
honey,
not...
we're going to have to talk more about this another show.
All right.
I think I'm talking more about this another show because these are some rich stories that I don't want to bypass, but we're getting close to the half hour here.
Yes, we are.
And so then, of course, the racial slurs and the other. Yeah.
Yes.
Don't do this either.
No, and just prejudice, just in general, threatening to run down homeless guys who are pushing shopping carts or yelling at Chinese drivers. It's not exactly sexy. And pretending to jabber in Chinese or some other foreign language, which is something you might do when you're 4 because you don't know better, or nobody's doing it yet. But especially if you happen to be dating someone like me who happens to actually be part Chinese, it's quite entertaining. So.
Well, entertaining and insulting. And
yes.
I think that it's actually a very good... this is sort of a good overall lesson for anyone who's dating anyone.
Yes,
but we're going to do a dating show extravaganza with Caroline sometime because she she is the guru on the dating scene, and I certainly am not. So I think it's time for a short break, and we're going to welcome your calls during this time. So 604-822-2487. That is 604-UBC-CITR. Please call in. Get yourself on Podcast Forever. We promise we will put you on the air in the second half. And, of course, callers are calling in right away because they're so excited. You are on In Juice Box, which is featured on CITR, Vancouver's 101.9 FM in Vancouver. And we'll be right back.
So, it's been 24 hours. Got my money?
Oh, you know what? Just give me till next Friday. I'll have it for you.
Oh. Oh, that's funny. I could have sworn I said have it today.
Yeah, I don't have it. Sorry.
Oh. Well, all right then. That's good, OJ.
Ah!
Yeah, that hurt.
What the hell?
Yeah.
This public service announcement is a thank you to all you listeners who donated during CITR's first fund drive. You've helped us continue to keep delivering you, the listener, with the diverse, independent, and quality programming you've come to expect. This is also a reminder that if you did pledge, please come down to CITR, pay your pledge, and collect your swag. For example, t-shirts, CDs, and all other merchandise that was offered with your pledge. Once again, to all of our listeners, all our supporters, thank you for supporting CITR 101.9 FM.
You got till 5 o'clock. You hear me? You got till 5 o'clock.
You freaking psychopath!
Clean yourself up.
Juice Box is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
That's such a great commercial.
I was just loving that. I love the Family Guy. It's great.
Oh, and so you are in Juice Box. Yes, yes. Thanks for listening. Tonight we're talking about cybersexuality and online dating. And if you missed the first half of the show, you can download the podcast. And actually, Caroline was giving her bits and tits about online dating. But, you know, really, one third of people who go on online dating sites have met someone in person, which is only one third. That's not very many. But we're going to talk about that more, I think, in the third part of cyber sexuality and dating, because tonight, special guest in the second half hour of the show, we have Brian, who is calling in. He is the CEO of the Red Light Center.
Red Light Center.
Red Light Center. Thank you.
.com.
Hi. It's redlightcenter.com. The guests that were on last week, Ray and Jezebel, on redlightcenter.com, and they gave a very riveting interview about about online dating and the cyber sexuality kind of lifestyle. And
it was riveting.
So Brian's going to speak to the interview, and actually, more interestingly, he told us on the break was that he was going to speak to the blog that happened after the show,
which you can log on if you want to take a look.
So I'm going to just read it to the listeners really quickly. The show was awesome. I love the way you directed the conversation. Never mind about that. You envisioned the world would be used, which was in more ways than they saw it. The interviewees. They said that they only want adults to come to their site, but from the sounds of it, they're marketing it for people who have not explored themselves yet. The guy, that would be Ray, anyway, thinking that maybe he wasn't doing such a good job of promoting it. So, what else does it say? It says maybe he hasn't explored it much himself, and he sure likes dancing in that world, which we're not going to get onto tonight because we've already talked about dancing a lot already, and we're not getting on it, okay? He said
she made me promise before I got on the phone that I wouldn't talk about the dancing.
Yes,
okay,
we're
not talking about the dancing tonight. You can talk about it on blogging as much as you like if you want to. So maybe the Americans down there don't know much about dancing. We don't know. But that's
Canadian. And that's what I needed to correct. We're actually a Vancouver-based.
Yes, Brian is Canadian, and the
I'm
red
Canadian.
Light.
And you know, it's true. The Red Light Center.
No, Brian, I'm interrupting you on the dancing thing because I'm actually reading from the blog, and I want the listeners to know that we tried to talk about sort of one of the more popular ways of expressing your fantasies, which is through the violent kind of, you know, rape fantasy,
the
which
Nancy
is like
Friday classic.
Very, very, very classic, and actually a very, very big part of women's desires to have a sexual fantasy.
Oh, yeah, one of my favorites.
And I think it's because women not only want to be dominated, because we've sort of been forced into this situation, and so we've kind of sexualized it for ourselves, but also because the society around us tells us that we can't be sluts, we can't express our desire and our pleasure, so we must be taken, and we must have no responsibility to being taken and to having a sexual experience that is exciting and fulfilling. So, you know, for so many, you know, dozens of years, we have to not feel like sexual beings, and so the rape fantasy is very huge for women because we feel like we don't have to have any responsibility. I was taken. I had no choice. So
sure, absolutely. But right. You know, the fantasy really comprises sort of being taken by a rogue that is brute and attractive.
In the cyber world, is that what you're talking about right now?
Well, I think I'm talking about the fantasy generally. I do think that that fantasy is one of the fantasies that can translate into a cyber world, because a cyber world allows you to trick yourself out so much to believe that you're really there, and because there's just an inherent safety layer in a cyber world, it makes that type of acting out. It removes, let's say, the inherent problems with that kind of acting out, right?
What are the inherent problems?
Well, the inherent problems is that it's a crime. It's a rape, right? Mm. I mean, that fantasy just can't be lived out in the real world.
Mm.
So, you know, in a cyber world, you don't have that actual physical and legal.
I don't know. I think that the rape fantasy can be very much acted out in the real world. Do you know why? Because I know some people that have done it, and they've made it happen over like a whole year, where the person that was in relationship with the other person said, "I want you to come into my house, break in, and rape me," and the person has fulfilled that fantasy.
You know, I stand corrected.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. But only by truly consenting adults, which is really what we're trying to we're trying to achieve also online.
Exactly, right? I mean, and that's the thing about online is that mm-hmm. you are consenting adults generally, unless you've been, unless you're a 12 to 15-year-old person who doesn't know and somebody's telling you they're going to buy you ice cream and make you a star, and then you consent to them and meet them. And
well, that is the problem generally with the age that we live in and the enhancement of communications, right?
Mm.
It certainly enables that, although that's one of the benefits that we at Red Light Center are hoping to bring is by making this an adults-only community.
So can I sort of segue a little bit? I'm just actually curious, Brian. I'm just wondering, what I found very interesting, and actually I was hoping that Carolyn and I could break this down on the second half of the show, so this is going beautifully, that we can actually talk to you as well, and that was around the avatars and making, you know, how they looked, and that they could look beautiful and perfect, and I wanted Ray and Jezebel to talk about maybe the avatars being different, like sort of, you know, the other that we always, maybe look down on sometimes or whatever. People in society don't celebrate. Excuse me, let me finish.
Sure.
So people that are maybe a little bit larger than the average person, or that have super small breasts, or like, you know, just little raisins on a cheese board or something, which I personally find very exciting. But some people wish that they had larger breasts, and then, or maybe like there was some of the person that blogged something about a big fat tongue, and maybe they get into the world as fat as a bovine injected pig, maybe an amputee, one arm, no legs, maybe no fingers, huge tongue, fat to the point of being almost a blob, and see where that goes. But I don't think they're exploring that level. I think they're treating their software like a dating service that you mentioned, which is okay. It was funny when he said, who needs real sex anyway? So that's going into another topic.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm just wanting you to speak to that a little bit. Like, do the avatars in Red Light Center, are they able to morph themselves at all into different kind of ways, except for the most beautiful, perfect, kind of slim, large, cocked, perfect, perfect labia, girls,
you know,
and boys?
Of course, that's the long-term objective.
So we can have like one labia is longer than the other, which is quite normal for women, and
or one breast bigger than the other.
Yeah, one breast, and then just that kind of difference.
Yeah, I mean, what's important to see is the distinction between where we are right now and where this is all going.
Oh, so can I be as fat as a bovine pig on what is the person? I love that. I don't know what
that was really good.
Yeah, can you do that at all?
Can I have an A cup and a D cup?
You know, I wish you could, and I wish you could in the real world too. At this point, there's technological.
You can in the real world.
So I think that Red Light Center. What I hear from you, Brian, is that you're willing to explore that and try to help it be a little bit more inclusive.
Well, it's definitely on the drawing boards. It's just, you know, this is also so new and so cutting edge that there's just technical problems with us being able to do it and have everybody see all of those different shapes and sizes and how they interact, for example, when they're dancing.
Mm.
So
I thought we said no dancing.
No, I use dancing. As a
okay, get into the dancing, Brian. Right. Tell me about dancing. So what happens with the dancing? So
I'm using dancing here as a euphemism. You know, when you're bumping up against each other.
Bumping uglies, you mean?
Nice, Julia.
I'm sorry.
I couldn't resist.
I'm freaking 37, dude. That's what we used to call it.
Yeah, we did used to call it that.
Oh, are you old too, Brian? Excellent.
You know,
born in the 60s, baby. Right.
Yeah, when you're getting down. So it's harder to make one avatar too much taller than the other, for example.
Really? Okay.
There's just technical limitations if you understand that side of it. But
I don't know, but I can imagine.
Over the next few years, you're going to be able to have all kinds of body types. There's going to be all different new sections of the city that have different rules and different rule sets. And you know, we're planning to open like a jail type environment, which is going to really, you know,
gang banging and butt fucking and shit. You mean?
Well, would that be the rape fantasy?
Exactly.
The rape fantasy.
Sort of take that rape fantasy to a
different level, maybe one that people didn't really imagine.
Exactly.
All right.
One that we always imagine, and we could only imagine hoping to see, but we could never see.
Well, that's why people watch Oz.
Is that why?
My brother's a huge fan.
Apparently you'll be able to have midgets and large people on your red
you
light
go.
Center someday soon.
You have
so
tattoos.
Well, who hasn't had a fantasy about a midget?
So. I don't think I have. I don't know. Have you, Caroline?
No. Well, Julia, we're both not that tall, so.
Yeah. The midgets, though, like, they could put their fist in us and stuff, and, like, the fingers and things, like, they could you know, they could probably get their fist in a little bit. Maybe the foot. You could put the foot in, you know, and then the toes.
Wiggle, wiggle.
With, stuff.
Like, long toenails.
You know, as long as you've got a condom.
Aww.
On the toes, I would think. Especially on the toes.
Yes, toes is...
They would have to be condomed for sure.
Yes.
And the nails cut and filed very short. But I think if I had a midget fantasy, I might like them to go up to the knee.
That's true.
I could try.
Well, it would be like having sex with Prince. Which could be really sexy.
Prince.
I think he's barely over 5 feet tall.
Isn't he? Is
mm-hmm.
he? Oh, he my is. God. I'm like totally thinking.
I just want him
really?
To sing to me in bed.
I thought that. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
I am so into popular culture. Okay, so, Brian, you're here on air, and we'd like to ask you, what do you want to say about the Red Light Center? I know that you really are into the dancing part of it and stuff. And
oh, well, you know, I think what I wish would be that, you know, your users would have a chance to experience it. It's really a different... It's so difficult to portray in words. I mean, I know, like, it's funny...
What's difficult to portray in words? What is difficult?
It is the experience. The immersion
experience
that a user really feels when they're in the world. It trips you out.
Okay.
And I understand this concept of, you know, people spending hours and hours in front of their computer, and it seems like that would be an isolating kind of experience.
Yeah.
But when you're in the world and you're actually meeting people, and I mean, let's face it, you know, you're getting to know them, you really do get that kind of energy. It's hard, like I say, it's hard to believe it until you've experienced it. Mm. But you really do get a feel for who the person is. It's like a bridge between what you'd call this online dating, emailing back and forth or phone calls, and actually meeting in person.
Have you met anybody online?
What's that?
Have you met anybody off of your service?
I've met a bunch of people, but, I mean, have I met them in real life off of the service?
No. I'd say no.
I don't think I have. But, you know, I suspect that's going to change. I mean, we really just recently opened to the public, so the problem is... You know,
what do you mean you just opened to the public? I don't understand.
They've been around for 5 years, but they've just been...
So just in, their, in your
rather.
Inner circle, you haven't been online?
And they've been adding and changing it.
We've got about 200,000 users, but they're spread out all around North America and the world.
Oh, I see.
So there's just not all that many people. I mean, I've definitely met people and I've connected with them in the world, which is a fantastic experience. But, you know, like if you look in... We're really doing a concerted effort here in Vancouver...
Could you say how many users you have again?
We have about 200,000.
Okay.
Whoa. Is that normal?
I wasn't sure.
I don't know. I'm kind of a real life dater myself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I understand that. But what I'm saying, I guess, if you had asked me to say, you know, what I wanted to communicate about
yeah,
my life.
Yeah, I do want you to continue to communicate. So you said there's all these people, but go ahead, sorry. Yeah.
Right, but I mean, unless you've tried it, I mean, because I used to say, you know, I'm just a real-life dater, too. But this really does trick you out into, I mean, it's definitely a different experience than you've ever had. I mean, because you can be so much more open, and it, because it's not just like a chat room, it really is an immersive experience. I mean, when you see, I mean, you know, I'm going to say it from my point of view, when you see a woman naked, you know, and you're in the BDSM room, or you're in one of the fantasy suites, and she starts going down and, to give you head. I mean, it's a real experience.
I was actually, I think, alluding to that last week around people getting the benefit of experiencing, like what you're talking about, Brian, you know, a woman's head moving down towards your genitals, and how you might actually experience that physiologically, where you're like,
yeah.
You know, and that's actually going to come into your body and actually affect you on a physiological level, which will actually heal your body and make you feel like you are being loved and being pleasured and things like that, which I think is very powerful and very positive. I think that's a very positive aspect of what the Cyberlight Center is about and what cyber sexuality is about and dating. I think it's Caroline and I have been talking a lot about in the last couple of shows, especially this show, around how that's a beautiful thing, and yet I think might
be a very spiritual thing.
A spiritual thing as well. Like most spiritual experiences are in our minds, because really, well, it's your conscious mind that allows you to tap into your unconsciousness. And what I think that you get from the cyber experience is that your unconsciousness is agreeing to what you might be imagining in your conscious mind. And so then your body experiences a physiological response, which I think is very, you know, pleasing and amazing and beneficial.
And that's what I mean when I say it feels like you're there, and it feels like you've gone out. It doesn't feel like you've been alone.
It makes you feel fulfilled and like you're not alone. And that's what I was saying last week around the benefits of it. And what I would like people that are listening to this and agreeing with me and have experienced this, like yourself, is that I just want to invite you to sort of also look to... what is it that's stopping you from exploring that with another person, or what is it that you're afraid of around your sexuality, or that you're afraid of around your intimate self and your ability to relate to other people? What don't you trust? What is it that you are afraid of? So, because I agree with you, I think it's very important and can heal people that feel completely isolated and or are isolated and or are what they think to be very unattractive or whatever the case may be. It allows them to experience being beautiful and being loved and all these things that in society that we propagate and fulfill ourselves with or put ourselves against and make ourselves feel like shit about. So I just want to invite people, and I'm going to talk more about it next week on our continuation part 3 of cyber sex and dating, because it's obviously a really huge area for our society. Developing countries, societies are all so much about that, is to just invite people to explore what maybe they're missing and what maybe they could do to allow themselves to engage with another person on a real person, you know, body to body experience.
You know, and I think you really said it when you're talking about being a beautiful person. It's not really so much about being a beautiful person as it is being able to shed any partiality to beauty, because everybody is, you know, has the same tools to look as good as they want.
Especially if you got money, money and you got time.
Well, that's true, definitely in the real world. I'm talking about, you know, particularly in a cyber world like redlightcenter.com. And so, you know, it allows the beauty that people have, like their true, you know, well, you know, I don't want to sound cliche, but it sounds like it allows them to, who they are, to shine through and be the important factor in the deciding.
In the avatars, they can shine through with you.
Right.
Sorry.
I mean, when you meet people and you know everybody can look however they want, and the thing that sets you apart. I mean, the thing that you know we find from our community is that they're warm and accepting to people who are warm and accepting.
Right.
And you know, people who are rude or you know, it doesn't matter how good looking they are in real life if they're snooty. You know, they're on the outside of this community.
Okay.
So it's a very neutralizing, like, neutralizing for, like, real-world beauty.
Okay, great. Well, that sounds like a really welcoming environment and I think important. So this is part of the service that the Red Light Center is giving and propagating to the world around and society around us, yeah?
Sure, sure. Mm-hmm. As it goes to, you know, making people comfortable and enhancing their lives.
Uh-huh. Well, good.
That's good then.
Good. Thank goodness for you guys. Thank goodness. So, I guess, and I'm so glad you called, Brian, because it was just sort of an impromptu interview. We have a few more minutes to talk about the subject, and I know that you've spoken about your passions about the Red Light Center and things that you think it provides society as a service and a gift, by the sounds of it. And
well, I certainly think that's where it is now, and certainly that's where we're trying to push it. I mean, you know, I would love for this to be a positively influencing force. You know, it's only going to be as good as the people that come in and make up the community. I mean, you know, we're driving to put out a product that really, you know, is going to be something that, you know, each person is going to be able to shape the way they want to, and hopefully a tool really to shape their lives, and hopefully a tool for us in Vancouver. You know, I came here from the States. I lived most of my life south of the border.
Right.
And, you know, I love Canada. I was born in Canada. And we've got to show our neighbor to the south what, you know, what the world is supposed to be. It's just, you know, they're very frustrating.
So what do you mean what the world is supposed to be?
Well, what the world is supposed to be is, like, the sort of attitude that Canadians have, which is...
Okay, what's that? What's that? Because people always ask me, what is Canadian attitude? Like, I always get asked this. I'm at UBC. I'm in my master's program. People always ask me, what is to be Canadian? So please answer that. Please answer
that. We don't have any identity.
I would love...
Nice.
Yeah, what is your identity as a Canadian? So go ahead.
It's a palpable difference from being in the States. I can tell you that. You know, there's a lot of good people. There's a lot of good people in the States, and a lot of people that are working to spread kindness and whatnot. But you know,
20 seconds or less.
There's a lot of shitheads.
Yes, right? We know. So what is a Canadian? What is it to be Canadian, honey? Tell us what it is to be Canadian.
I think it's to value things that are intellectual, to value things that are cultural, to value people, and and not to focus in so much on all of the negatives, to be friendly and, it's really the meaning of life. If you can be friendly and you can spread happiness and friendliness, you're going to change the world, certainly the world around you, your sphere, into a positive shape. And if you think that you're going to enforce and you're going to force people to do it your way because you know better and you're going to make them happy, you're going to spread misery. And that's really like... It's a subtle difference in mindset, but the effects are really dramatic. I mean, I don't
beautiful.
Think, so that's my take on what.
Oh,
it
I just
Canadian.
Think that's just fabulous. I am so inspired.
Oh, Canada.
Brian from redlightcenter.com was saying that Canadians. We can show the USA what the world is supposed to be like, which I think is fabulous. Mm-hmm. And the values that Brian that you said were in being, you know, we value things in Canada that are intellectual, that are cultural.
You know,
we value people. We value, you know, being friendly and spreading happiness. And I think that's probably one of the most well said and succinct ways of describing Canadian culture that I've ever heard.
I'd have to agree with you.
We value culture. We value different ethnicities and all that business. And we don't believe in race because race does not exist. Ethnicity is one thing. Culture is another thing. Perhaps you have a color of skin and a type of hair that matches a certain ethnicity or a certain culture. But the point is that I just love what you expressed, Brian. Thank you.
Thank you. I mean, you know, it's really true, and that's what's so amazing is you know, I mean, that's why I had to come back here.
Oh, thank you. And so putting on the red light district, or the, sorry, the red light center of .com of the world, hopefully you will enable the injected bovine pig kind of people that want to be on the thing, and the little skinny, tiny people, and the people that are like tiny little titties like myself. I'd like to be like a small-tittied girl that, I actually like to be a boy.
I was going to say I'd like to be a man.
I'd like to be a black man is what I'd like to be, and then I'd also like to be a black woman with like no breasts and that tiny little tight ass that has a big bulbousy bum that can like run like a million miles a minute and has like this super like sporty body and stuff.
I want to be
like,
a surfer.
That's what I like, because I'm like this like Scottish girl with like curves all over, and when I run things bounce and move everywhere, and so yeah, I have many people that I'd like to be on in my avatar creation, and I'm sure that the rest of the world probably does as well. And so that's part of the beauty of the cyber world, which we're going to talk more about next week,
and have the pole dancers as well.
And the pole dancers. What? Are they going to go?
Yeah, because we already have them booked as guests. But
oh, excuse me. Well, then we'll create.
We'll have both.
We'll just, no, you know what? That's okay. Well, we can do the Cyprus stuff.
We're on a tangent, though.
Yeah. And we like to do that with Juicebox, actually.
We do.
Caroline is new, so she's just sort of understanding the culture of Juicebox, but we like to kind of keep things going if they are authentically going on, and if the subject dies in our hearts, then we just take a new subject, which, listeners, we would love it if you would contribute to that creative flow and tell us what you would like us to talk about online, because, you know, I could talk about anything. So could Caroline, I'm sure.
And which, on that note, you should check out and find out about our site stuff that we've got going on. We just realized
it's
11 o'clock. And our next...
Marion from Hans Claus's Misery Hour is not here.
Yeah.
But that's okay, because I'm going to put on a song, and then we're going to go look for him.
And might have to put on BBC.
And so, Brian, thank you for calling in, sweetie.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
I really appreciate your contributions.
Anytime.
And keep listening to Juicebox. Thanks so much.
Oh, actually, no, he's waving to
us.
He's here. He's coming with the uncircumcised cock.
Maybe you could go get him, honey, because I'll finish up the hour and do all my engineering and business. So thanks for being on. Do you have anything else you have to add?
Oh, I was just going to say about our workshop on Saturday.
December
the 9th is Saturday coming up. How to give great head. So don't forget.
So that's on juiceboxworkshops@gmail.com.
And having something to suck.
juiceboxworkshops@gmail.com. And you have to bring something to suck. And it's like $35. Yeah. Super cheap. Oh, my God. He's arrived. Oh, darling. Thank you. Tossed my hat. I was so hot. All right. Okay. So I guess it's time to go.
It is.
We hope we offered you a great show tonight.
You wish, guys, you would see that.
I don't even know what
just
said.
Just
but
say?
In the meantime,
we're good.
How are you?
Hi. And that's Marion. He's arrived. He's a bit late, but he likes to do that.
No.
He's European, darling. So in the meantime, please email Julia or Caroline at juiceboxradio.com and contribute your thoughts on the show. We would appreciate to know that somebody's listening at this sweet hour of 10 o'clock.
Well, they are listening, because if they weren't listening, we wouldn't be putting on the blowjob workshop, because people wanted it, so we're giving it to them. We're answering a market, and everybody wants good head. So we'll have to put one on for men to teach for women.
We need to do more than that. We need to actually have blowjobs a la gay men who can show us what they do to each other, which I think would be, I'd like to go, I'd sign up, I'd pay $100 for that.
You know what? We should bring one on the show and interview them.
Okay, but we can't do any kind of sex on the air because people got fired last time people had sex on the air on the sex show. Yeah, so we can't do that.
We can.
Although, Caroline, I'd like to throw you down and have sex with you right now.
Oh, really,
if
darling.
I could on air. So
you'd be satisfying a lot of people's curiosity.
Including our teenage, our early teenage years. So I guess it's time to get off and stop this helpless flirtation.
And I love how you say get off, darling.
Stop it.
All right. You're blushing.
I am blushing.
It's cute.
If only I could see it on there. So, all right. So there's something else I wanted to say. There's something you're making me forget.
Well, there's the pole dancers.
The pole dancers that came Luscious.
Luscious.com. Mm-hmm. If you want to buy tickets for the show, proceeds are going to Beauty Night. That's going to be December 14th, so you can check out that.
Okay.
Which would be great, and our blowjob workshop, and as well as that, you might want to email us as well, because we are going to be teaching a class on how to flirt and how to pick up people, probably in January, February.
So what's this email is what?
Just email us, just
what?
To let us know.
Which email, honey?
Workshop.
Oh, Juice Box Workshops.
At Gmail.
Okay. All right. Thanks for listening, and must go now because we're 5 minutes over. 5 minutes over. We'll see you next week at the sexy hour of 10 o'clock. You just experienced Juice Box Radio, a show dedicated to developing your relational and individual sexual health, expressing diversity, celebrating queerness, and encouraging pleasure at all stages. Be sure to tune into Juice Box every Wednesday night at 10. In the meantime, you can check out juiceboxradio.com. Thanks for listening. I have to